morning, everyone. It is Sunday, January the 31st, the last Sunday of the month, the last day of the month of January. It's the fifth Sunday of the month, too. And, of course, lockdown Sunday number six. Doesn't really seem that long when you think about it. But in other respects, it seems like it's been forever since we've been able to be here in the church sanctuary together for worship. All things being well and going along smoothly, we expect that the lockdown will end on February the 11th, which will give us opportunity to be back together on Sunday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, and we'll look forward to that. When we do get back together for that Sunday, we will have all three services ready to go, Sunday Bible School, the morning worship, and as well the evening fellowship service. We'll have to find out if there's any kind of restrictions placed upon us at that point in time, but I think we should be good to go. We want to express our condolences this morning to Dan and Jan Fletcher on the homegoing of Dan's mom, Catherine. She passed away yesterday at Chelsea Park Nursing Home. She was 98 years old, and we want to just express our sorrow and their loss, and pray for God's grace to be their portion and their strength and their peace these days. Pray for Walter, Dan's dad, as he will miss his wife of 72 years married. A great milestone there. And thank the Lord they knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So I just want to pass that on to you and pray and have you pray for them in these days. We're going to sing together along with the Maranatha singers by way of recording, and the hymn is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Their version is pretty much what we would sing. They get off onto some little notes once in a while, but generally it's a pretty good presentation of the hymn. And I invite you to sing along. "Great is Thy Faithfulness," certainly a testimony and a confession of God's wonderful faithfulness to us all through these 6 weeks, but all through our lives, through almost 25 years of the life of our church now as well. And we want to give him all the praise and glory because of his faithfulness to us. So sing along with the Maranatha singers.
Strength for today and bright hope for blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Hey. And great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
Thank you. That is good singing this morning. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 6. Our scripture reading this morning is Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. And you can follow along as I read this passage this morning. Beginning in verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." And wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And we'll stop our reading there and ask the Lord to bless this portion of his word to our hearts and minds this morning. The announcements are in the bulletin, and the bulletin is posted on our church website under Interact With Us block, and then you'll see the bulletin link. You can click on that and then just click on today's bulletin. It is there for your perusal. Want you to know that annual reports are ready to be handed out whenever we get back together. The annual meeting date is to be determined yet, and determined as to exactly when we will be back together, and probably a couple of weeks after that we will schedule the annual meeting on a Saturday. And as we mentioned earlier, when we get back to being in-house services again, we will start right away with all three services, Sunday Bible School, morning service, and the evening service as well. And so please take note of those things. Let me say thank you to you all for your faithfulness in giving, your tithes and offerings, and they have come in through our usual means, either by e-transfer to donations@BereanBaptistLondon.org, or through the mail, snail mail, or through drop-offs on Fridays between 10 and 2. Or just you can just hang on to them until we do get back together again. This Friday, with all the snow and everything we had, we called a snow day and didn't even get into the church building. There was so much snow around, and I know that those who usually come on Fridays also called to say that they wouldn't be coming in either just because of all the snow. So we've got one more Sunday to go, Lord willing, when we can't be here. And then the following Sunday, the 14th of February, we should be able to be back together. So do what the Lord lays on your heart, however you want to do that, whether to bring it in or send it in or keep it. We will acknowledge that the choice is yours, and I know that you will do that which is right. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We are thankful to you for your great faithfulness to us. Where would any of us ever be apart from your grace and mercy and your faithfulness to us? We want to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks for that great faithfulness of thy own. And thank you, Lord, for taking care of us these past 6 weeks as we have not been able to be together due to coronavirus lockdown in our province. And we trust in you that after next Sunday, we will be able to be back together again. We hear that cases are slowly coming down, that hospitals aren't overwhelmed. And we thank you for that and trust that we will indeed be able to get back together on the 14th. We thank you for your care of each one of us as well during all of this time, and how you have kept us safe and kept us relatively healthy. I know that a lot of our folks are struggling with health issues daily, and not just the wearing away of the body and weakness of the body, but some other things as well. I thank you that we have not had any reports of coronavirus among our own people these days, and I thank you also for that fact as well. And so we thank you today for who you are. We praise you, and our heart's desire is to worship you in spirit and in truth that will be pleasing unto thyself. We pray for our missionaries this morning. The Batak's and the Bayanihan Children's Home has been our missionaries of the month. And we thank you, Lord, for your graciousness to them and for your provisions for them and the work that they are doing over there in the Philippines. And we continue to lift them up before your throne of grace and ask for your help in their work. Must be an amazing thing, amazing trust in you to provide for so many of those kids, not only places to stay and to sleep, but meals and then schooling. I just thank you for Jing and Arlene and their heart's desire to serve you in this way. For Harvesters Baptist Church here in Delaware, who have partnered with them over there, and they are looking after a number of their situations as well. And so we thank you for them. Pray that you will continue to bless in all in their lives. We think of all of our missionaries as well throughout the world, and thank you for them. Pray, Lord, you'll grant them fruit for their service and their labor in the places where you have put them. We would pray for our shut-ins this morning, others who just are not able to get out of their home, our folks out of their home, other of our folks who are in seniors' home around town. We just pray that you will continue to watch over them, keep them healthy, keep them safe, and keep them with joy in their hearts for the care that they are receiving. We continue to pray for Maria. We suspect that she is still over at Parkwood Hospital. Would ask that you would undertake for her in these days as well. We do pray for the Fletcher family as they mourn the loss of Dan's mom, Catherine, who passed away yesterday. We ask, Lord, that you would be with not only Mr. Fletcher, but also Dan and Jan and the rest of the Fletcher clan, that you would, by your grace and mercy, grant them peace in their hearts, and that you would be with them through this time of transition and the burial which is to come, and that you would just pour your wonderful grace over them, that they might have strength at this time in their sorrow. And we pray you'll bless them. Father, we ask that also there would be an end to this virus and the lockdowns that come as a result of it. We realize that it has been devastating in our world. And so we ask that you will continue to work in such a manner that the virus will become of less effect as these days go by, whether vaccines will work or not. Side effects, we hear, are kind of deadly for some. And we just pray that you will grant wisdom to all of us in terms of that particular procedure. But we do pray that you might end this virus, that people might be able to get back to normal again and back to being with each other without fear. And we just would pray that you would just continue to be with us through all of this time. We pray for our governing leaders as well, the Prime Minister, our Premier, our Mayor, all of those who are associated with the powers that be and the rulers and authority, governing authority. We pray for wisdom. We pray, first of all, Lord, that you would save their souls, that you would bring somebody into their life and experience who knows you as Savior and who can speak to them about the things of the Lord. But then we pray for wisdom and that righteousness might prevail in our land, as our verse talks about, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. We pray that righteousness might prevail in our land, that we might still experience your wonderful blessing upon us in these days. And so thank you for our time together this morning. We pray that you'll meet with us, that you'll bless this time, and that you'll make it a blessing in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have some special music this morning for your encouragement. The song is called "This World Is Not My Home." You perhaps know it. If you want to sing along, then that's fine as well. It's posted as a recording by someone called Acapella. Right? We've used a number of his recordings before. It's one man. I found out his name is Elliot Bowman. And he sings all four parts in the four-part harmony, but he sings it a cappella. Does a really fine job. Always enjoyable to hear him sing these good old hymns and songs. So listen along to Elliot Bowman, "This World Is Not My Home."
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Thank you, Elliot, for that good presentation this morning, and we agree with him. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven, where our citizenship is, and where we look forward to going when the Lord calls us to be with Himself. Now let me invite you to take your Bibles once again and turn back to Daniel chapter 6. This is a familiar passage of Scripture as it records the story of Daniel and the lion's den. There is much to learn of the example of Daniel here in the situation in which he found himself here in this chapter. So without further ado, let's take a look. Number one, note the situation. This is Daniel's situation is found in verses 1 through 9. And we'll just try and summarize it here for you this morning. You can read over those verses once again. Darius is the king of Persia. He had a large kingdom, requiring 120 princes to manage the whole thing. Darius then set three presidents over the princes, and Daniel was one of the three. Daniel was given a high position in the new Medo-Persian government. The significance of his holding this remarkable office under a new government, and when he was more than 80 years old, must be noted and appreciated. Apparently, God wanted him in a place of influence to encourage and assist in the Jews' return to Judah, just as he had been in a position earlier to contribute to their welfare while in Babylonia. Thus says a commentator that I had checked with. But the king preferred Daniel above the other presidents and thought to make Daniel over the whole realm. And we might ask, why would he determine that? Well, we're told in the text that it was because there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. An excellent spirit. This phrase in Hebrew means more than just having a commendable attitude, which certainly Daniel had, but also includes the idea that Daniel worked hard and he worked well, that he finished and followed through on all the things that he was supposed to, that were his responsibility, and he did it in a marvelous way. Leon Wood, in his commentary on Daniel, said, God had endowed Daniel with excellent ability. And even at 80 years of age, well over 80 years of age, I suspect at this time, Daniel was still recognized for being faithful and able in the work that he was doing. But then we read in the text that the presidents and princes sought occasion against Daniel. And one might wonder why. Possibly it was because he was a Jew. If you check verse 13, at this juncture in the passage, the princes and the print and the princes and the governors, the presidents, said before the king after Daniel had prayed in his own room. They said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. And it would seem that one of the chief reasons for their troubles with Daniel was because he was a Jew. And associated with that, of course, is the fact that he was a captive in the Medo-Persian Empire as well. Possibly, they were against him because they were jealous of the preferential treatment Darius was giving to Daniel. Who knows exactly why men get jealous and seek to defame and destroy another man, a colleague, possibly because of pride in their own lives. And we know who the one is that epitomizes pride in life. That is the devil, Satan. We read from Scripture that Satan fell because of his pride as the most honored angel that God had created, but wanted himself to be God, and so he fell into being the devil and opposer of all that God does. And in the New Testament, we read he is the accuser of the brethren. His pride caused him to fall. And those who are filled with pride in our own human race, I suspect, are influenced by the devil himself. Though these other presidents and princes tried to find something, anything about which they could accuse Daniel, but they couldn't find anything. Daniel was faithful in every respect of that word, in every area of his life and ministry, and there was not found any error or fault in him. And all I can say to that is, wow, wish that could be me. I suspect you wish that it could be you. Absolutely faithful. There's really no other person in all of this world in our history that could have a similar testimony to that of Daniel's, and that's the Lord Jesus, who in every respect was tested, in every respect was checked out, and no sin could be attributed to him. He was not guilty of anything, could not find anything wrong in anything that the Lord Jesus did. And Daniel here then serves as a type of the Lord Jesus for us and a great example for us in our own lives to try and reach that goal as well in our own lives, that we might be faithful in every respect, blameless. Of course, as Christians who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are blameless before God because the Lord Jesus has taken our sins and he has forgiven us and given us the Spirit of God, and we have eternal life as well. But our blamelessness and innocence is now because Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us because of our faith in him. So the presidents and princes, they sought very hard and diligently to find something about which they could accuse Daniel, but they could find nothing. In all of those years that Daniel served the kings of Babylon and now Medo-Persia, no fault could be found. He was faithful. So these guys then determined that if they were to find something against Daniel, it would have to be concerning the law of his God, according to verse 5. Another commentator said, after what may have been considerable discussion of possible ways, they decided to strike at Daniel's religious life. They would make his own high degree of commitment to God work against him. Because this was their decision, two matters are made evident. One is that these men knew about his religious commitment and practice, which means that Daniel had not been a secret worshiper of Jehovah God. He had not hidden his faith in order to keep his office. The second is that these men believed his degree of commitment to be great enough to keep him from changing, even though faced by the penalty of death. it is clear that they were not primarily interested in his changing, but rather in trapping him so that he could be executed, end quote. So they went to the king, the princes, and the presidents, and they compelled him to make a law in Medo-Persia. Look at verse 7 and 8, chapter 6. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. That was their decree and their little plot that they believed would find Daniel in trouble with the king and possibly then thrown into the lion's den. One must wonder why the decree would only be in effect for 30 days, 1 month. One commentator suggested this, quote, "The reason for having the decree remain in force for only 30 days was that this would be long enough to trap Daniel, and these men probably did not wish to be restricted longer, any longer themselves," end quote. Yes, I think probably that's so. Kind of wonder if Darius the king would have questioned them about 30 days and why it would only have that termination point and not just simply be ongoing. However, they wooed the king enough that we're told he signed the decree in verse 9. One might also wonder why Darius did not detect the collusion here. But one suggestion is that Darius could have thought it flattering in those days and in those kingdoms. Kings were often regarded as deity, as the gods for the nation and the empire, the kingdom. And so someone suggested that Darius could have thought it flattering that his officers wished to think of him as a manifestation of deity for a period of time, with the quote, "Vanity is one of man's greatest weaknesses. Vanity is one of man's greatest weaknesses," end quote. So that's the situation. Whether Daniel was aware of what these his colleagues were doing, we're not too sure. But we do read about the response and the reaction of Daniel once he learned that the decree had been signed. So number two in our outline this morning, Daniel's reaction, and this is in verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." There's several things to notice in this one verse concerning Daniel's response and reaction to this signed decree. Number one, it would appear, just by the way the text reads, it would appear that Daniel knew nothing about this new decree until it was publicly announced. Would he have suspected this to be a plot to get rid of him? Well, we know Daniel was very wise individual, and perhaps he did realize what the ramifications and the consequences of this decree really would be as it related to him personally. Number two, we're told he went to his house. He didn't go protest at the Capitol building or the king's home. He didn't go to Twitter to voice his displeasure with this decree. He didn't gather lawyers to sue the government for this decree, which would have violated his rights. He didn't go and request a personal audience with the king himself to complain about what this decree was really going to do in the lives of certain people. He didn't do anything like that. When he heard the decree had been signed, he just went home. Leon Wood, in his commentary, makes this statement, quote, "Would Daniel now continue to pray and so seem to fall into the trap of his enemies? Or would he be wiser to cease for the 30 days and so outwit them? Would it not be better to make sure of keeping his life for prayer and testimony later on than to continue praying now and risk losing it?" Such thoughts must have moved through his mind, but his decision was, properly, to proceed as he was accustomed. End quote. So he went to his house. And I think that is marvelous, remarkable, and exemplary on Daniel's part. Number three, we're told he prayed. We're told that he went into his chamber, into his house, into his chamber. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and he prayed. Now, remember, the decree was that no person within the Medo-Persian Empire should pray to any god or any man, unless it's to the king, for 30 days. I don't believe that Daniel, when he kneeled down in his own house, at his open window, prayed to Darius. Rather, he prayed to his God, as was his custom. So we're told that his windows were open, which was ordinarily the way it was for him. They were open facing towards Jerusalem, where the temple had been. He kneeled, which is a position of submission to the Lord God, and I suspect that most of us would want to kneel as well when we go to prayer. Sometimes, so for some of us, if we got into a kneeling position, we might not get up again, or too easily, our knees and legs would tire. But Daniel kneeled and he prayed. We're told that he prayed three times a day. And very probably that would have been morning, noon, and night. Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17, David penned these words, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Pretty good. A habit. Not all habits are bad habits. This is a good habit to have, praying morning, noon, and night. And such was the spiritual concern for these men. And Daniel shared that same pattern of three times a day, probably morning, noon, and night. But why pray from an open window? Why not move to some other secret place to pray? But if he did, what would that say about his faith? And what about his testimony for all of those 65 years of serving righteously and faithfully without any kind of blemish, if he was to hide himself away in some room so that no one could see? The reason for the clear statement as to where he prayed is to say that he did not change, but prayed where he was accustomed to pray. The existence of a continued testimony was more important than the existence of his life, one commentator opined. The existence of a continued testimony was more important than the existence of his life. Daniel was not going to hide from what was his usual custom and habit of his life, to pray through the open window towards Jerusalem three times a day. What had he prayed? Would have been interesting to know on that first day after the understanding the decree was signed, what exactly Daniel was praying about. Well, we're told in verse 10 that he gave thanks to his God, before his God. Which is interesting because obviously what he would be doing then was going to put him into some hot water with the king and possibly find him at the bottom of the den of lions. But he gives thanks before his God. Here Daniel was following the spiritual grace attribute that the Apostle Paul advocated in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Do you remember that verse? It says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything, even in a situation and a time when praying to Jehovah God could cost him his life, he still gave thanks in prayer to the Lord. That's a great prayer habit to have. And I trust that you will continue to avail yourselves of this avenue of communication that we have with our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, to pray to Him, to give thanks, to make our petitions before Him, to give Him our praise, that we might do that habitually, perhaps morning, noon, and night, if you are able. So Daniel bowed, kneeled on his knees, and he prayed. Number four, and I think it's important to recognize this, that what he was doing was what he customarily did. It was his custom to pray three times a day out of his window towards the city of Jerusalem. He probably did this his whole life since he had been taken captive back in 606 BC when he was taken in one of the first waves of captivity to Babylon. Daniel didn't just start praying to Jehovah God because he thought to rebel against the king's decree. Praying three times a day was what he always did. And his enemies knew that, which is why they conned the king to sign the decree that they made up that nobody should pray to any god or man except to the king for 30 days. I imagine in their own minds that they thought this was a sure thing, and this would surely get rid of Daniel because they knew what his custom was. I think we need to understand also that Daniel was not careless in this, nor ignorant about what could happen should he continue to pray. He knew what the consequences were for praying to any other god than the king. The consequence was the lion's den, and he would probably have to face that. But, once again, the fear of the lion's den did not overcome his customary habit of praying to the Lord God. And I think that probably in the back of Daniel's mind, maybe in the forefront of his mind, was the first commandment in the law. Do you remember what it was? Exodus 20, verses 2 and 3. God is issuing the Ten Commandments to Moses. And there we read, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Daniel was not prepared to break that first commandment, and so he went before his God, Jehovah, and he prayed. I trust we all as believers in Christ would have the same response to a law that would cause us to break one of the Ten Commandments if we were to obey the laws of men. But equally as important is the question, what is the habit of our lives? Is it our commitment to obey God in everything? Is it our habit to pray regularly, no matter what? To come into the presence of Christ to worship Him and Him only? Is that a custom, a habit in our lives that we are willing and committed to carry on no matter what the circumstances and situations may be in the place where we are living. We must not all of a sudden start following biblical precepts when someone says we can't. I know that sometimes is the attitude we find in kids, but maybe in grown-ups as well, that if somebody says you can't do this, one of the first things that go through their mind is, I'm going to do it anyways. Well, we as Christians should not all of a sudden start following biblical precepts when someone says that we can't. It ought to be the habit of our life that we will continue to do in the face of decrees and laws that tell us we can't, upon pain of being thrown in a lion's den, that we will still do what is right before God. We must also determine now, right now, this day, to be of this mind, so that if and when such laws do come upon us, we will be purposed in heart to follow the spiritual graces of trusting the Lord, worshiping only Him, to testify of Christ as our Savior, and that He is the incarnate, only begotten Son of the living God, our Savior and our Lord. Beloved, we need to bolster one another in these days, to encourage one another, to be strong, to be steadfast, to be faithful to the Lord. We need each other to edify one another. And I know it is hard when we are not getting together in these days, but let us trust the Lord for His grace, to have the strength to be faithful and courageous for Him, just as Daniel was in this situation he found himself in. What a joy it will be when we can fellowship in person once again, hopefully in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, keep your heart purposed to be strong for the Lord. Make good habits and work at them continually on a daily basis, especially the habit of prayer. And may God keep us and make us good witnesses unto the Lord Jesus in these strange days that we are in and on into the days in the future. Now, we're going to come back to the rest of Daniel 6 next time as we see what the consequences were for Daniel's actions in praying to his God and just his deliverance by God from the lion's den. But we'll look at that next time. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful goodness to us today. We thank you for this wonderful example of the man Daniel. We thank you for his habit of life, particularly as it related to prayer and coming into your presence. We thank you that even in spite of the decree that was really aimed at him, he continued to do what he always did, and that is to pray to you. And we thank you for him. May his example lead us into the same kind of determination in our lives. We recognize that he was not disrespectful of the king, but just that he was going to not put anything else in the place of God in his life or pray to anyone else than Jehovah God in his life as well. And something he always did, and he just continued to do it, and we thank you for that. May we be like him. Bless your word to our hearts this morning. May it be an encouragement to us in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that's it for today. Well, one more lockdown Sunday to go, we believe, and trust the Lord that it'll only be one more, and then we'll be back together again on Sunday, February the 14th, Lord willing. In the words of Numbers 6, 24 to 26, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And with that benediction, we are dismissed. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the day.